Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author, and I love talking about gardening and helping people with their gardens, especially here in Florida. So we do appreciate you being here and listening. And good morning, Lizzie. We had a great first hour.
Yes, definitely. If you want to go back and you want to catch it, go to betterlawns.com and catch all of our podcasts there.
Exactly. And if you're just new and you didn't hear the first hour, we sent out our first newsletter for In Your Backyard. It is a relaunch. I've been doing In Your Backyard newsletter for years, and I'm just now getting around to it now. And so Lizzie is going to have a portion of it, and you'll find landscape design tips, my landscape malpractice, also what to do in each month in your garden, and lots of fun. Also, all of our vendors, you can access them through the newsletter too as well, and it's free. We do not spam, so you can go onto our Facebook page and check it out. Also, too, it's World Naked Gardening Day, and so you can go on and see the very first celebration of World Naked Gardening Day on our Facebook page, and then also some May the 4th gardening memes there. You can check those out. It's time for the dirty word of the day. Let's hear it from John.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow. All it takes is a rake and a hoe and a piece of fertile ground. Inch by inch, row by row, someone bless these seeds I sow. Someone warm them from below till the rain comes tumbling down.
And now it's time for the dirty word of the day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the dirty word of the day is Hesperidium. Hesperidium. That's Hesperidium. And caution for today's dirty word, we have two additional and delicious dirty words included in the report. So a Hesperidium is a modified berry with a tough, leathery rind. Carl Linnaeus gave the name Hesperidiae to an order containing the genus Citrus, in allusion to the golden apples of the Hesperides, and that was a great race. And so the fruit tends to be large for a berry, ranging in size from less than an inch in small fruited genera, such as Muria, which is one of my favorite fragrant citrus trees, orange jasmine, also known as Lakeview jasmine, to more than 5 inches or more in some varieties of citrus. The outer ovary wall becomes the thick, spongy layer of the rind, while the inner ovary wall becomes very juicy with several seeds. The peel contains volatile oil glands in pits. The fleshy interior is composed of separate sections called carpels filled with fluid-filled vesicles that are specialized hair cells. Oranges, lemons, and limes, and grapefruit are all common examples of Hesperidia. Unlike most other berries, the rind of the cultivated Hesperidia is generally not eaten with the fruit because it's tough and bitter. A common exception is the kumquat, which is consumed entirely. The outermost pigmented layer of rind contains essential oils and is known as the flavido. When scraped off and used as a culinary ingredient, it is called zest. A confection called sucade can also be produced by candying the inner rind, known as pith or albedo, of the citron or lemon. I love making citrus rinds and sugaring them. They are delicious. And so the dirty word of the day is Hesperidium. And so you can use that this week when you're talking about your citrus trees or your orange jasmine, and let me know how you do with it, because it's a wonderful, delicious word. And so that is the dirty word of the day. In the last few years, monarch butterflies have been in the news with declining populations. A disease called OE, which is Ophidiocytes electrocera, I got that, we'll just call it OE, has been plaguing the monarch. It is a parasite that infects monarch, queen, and a few other butterfly species. According to Monarch Health, OE is an organism known as a protozoan. OE was discovered infecting monarch and queen butterflies in Florida in the late 1960s. No other hosts have been identified, but it has since been found in all other monarch populations worldwide. This large range leads scientists to believe that this parasite has evolved alongside monarchs. So I want to discuss recent events with Joyce Samsell, head of the Florida Monarch Research and Education Project, a nonprofit out of Cape Coral, and she is recruiting citizen scientists from all over the state. So Joyce is coming up with us next to discuss this important topic. So if you would like to ask questions about OE or anything else about monarch butterflies, you can text us at 1-888-455-2967, and I'll try and get those in when we interview Joyce. But also, too, if you'd like to sign up for our newsletter, you can do that, too, by going to our Facebook page, Better Lawns and Gardens. And it is free. It is new this week, and it'll be coming out every month. So we have a lot of great information coming your way. And then also to your phone calls and your text messages at the bottom of the hour. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Hey y'all, to elevate any garden, lawn, or flower to grow well, you need a difference maker. This is why I love Black Cow. It provides an all-natural way to improve native soils and gives whatever I'm growing the boost it needs to flourish in many environments. Whether it be your lawn, flower beds, or vegetable garden, with Black Cow, you'll be off to a great start. Whoa, that's some good sh**.
Black Cow, the mature manure.
Want to hear something about life jackets? Try inflatable life jackets. Life jackets save lives. Wear it, Florida. For more information, go to myfwc.com. A message from the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, save on select Steel battery tools. Right now, save $50 on the HSA 50 battery hedge trimmer set. Real Steel. Find yours at steeldealers.com. With AK-10 battery and AL-101 charger. Offer valid for a limited time only while supplies last. See participating dealer for details.
Healthcare.gov is here for you when life happens. If you lost your health coverage because of turning 26, going off Medicaid, leaving your job, or moving, you could be eligible to enroll in new coverage now. And if you need to update your coverage because of marriage or having a baby, you could also be eligible. But don't wait. There's a limited time to enroll. Check your eligibility at healthcare.gov today. Life happens. Get covered. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them. But do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family. Or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. After retiring from a career in law enforcement, Joyce Samzel began volunteering with the Florida Native Butterfly Society in Fort Myers. Joyce became a staff employee and promoted to curator and manager of the Butterfly Conservatory. Joyce developed a monarch breeding and rearing program, which still continues today while she was there. Dr. Mark Minow, chairman of the Florida Native Butterfly Society Advisory Board, was impressed with Joyce's knowledge, dedication, and success with her monarch breeding program and asked Joyce to head up a new research project on the Florida monarch and the OE spore. Under the direct supervision of Dr. Sonia Altizer, University of Georgia, Joyce learned the science of scoring spore samples. In 2019, Joyce created the Florida Monarch Research and Education Project, which is a 501(c), and 2024 is the sixth year of the project and continues collaboration with Dr. Mark Minow. The Florida Monarch Research and Educational Project research explores the Florida's monarch life with OE spores. And Joyce joins us this morning. Good morning, Joyce. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Good morning.
And so the 501(c) Florida Monarch Research and Educational Project is located in Punta Gorda. But how long have you lived in Florida?
I've lived here a little more than 14 years.
Okay. And what did you find interesting that made you want to work with butterflies?
I accidentally planted milkweed in the yard, not knowing it was milkweed, and found caterpillars eating my milkweed up. And when I researched it, I found out they were monarch butterflies.
How wonderful. And so when did you meet Dr. Mark Minow?
I believe I met him at the Charlotte Harbor Environmental Center, where he was giving a lecture.
Wonderful. And so what is the focus of your Florida Monarch Research and Education Program? What do you mainly do there?
Well, our research explores the Florida monarch's life with the OE. So our goal is to answer questions like, is there a specific milkweed that is prone to contamination? Are the monarchs able to live normal, productive lives with heavy loads of the spore? And what we found was there were many people that were also curious because the spore has become a big topic here in Florida. So what we have done is we have trained and supplied citizen scientists here in Florida to participate in the research by collecting samples and tagging and completing data sheets.
Okay, when you say samples, what are you sampling?
So you take a tag, and it's a sticky tag like tape, and they press it on the abdomen of the butterfly. And when you remove it, it removes, yes, at some scales, but it also, if the butterfly is contaminated, it will remove the OE spores.
And
they put it on a index card, and then we check it underneath a microscope to see if there is an infection and the rate of the infection.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. So how many Florida native milkweed species are there?
There are about 21 native to Florida, and then there's an additional 8 natives in South Florida.
And are these readily available, or where can people find them?
If you go to a native nursery, you will only be able to purchase about 3 different species. There's the butterfly weed, which is tuberosa. There's the pink swamp weed, and that's the incarnata. And then we have the white swamp weed, and that's the perennis. And the reason why I say there's only 3 out of the 28 species, that's because it's very difficult to duplicate the habitat, the natural habitat of our native species. So those 3 are the easiest to plant in your residential yards.
Wonderful. And so when we're talking about monarch butterflies, it's always the highlight is that they migrate from the north and they go down to Mexico. And so the populations have seemed to be declining over the last decade, if not more than that. And so do Florida monarch butterflies migrate?
That's controversial. No, technically, no. The Florida monarch does not have the migratory gene. So they move from North Florida to South Florida as the weather cools. And then they live in South Florida, continuing to breed and repopulate throughout the winter. But there are suggestions that there is a East and Caribbean migration, as well as a migration to Mexico across the Gulf. But they still need to do more research to confirm these sightings are true. And they mostly do it by genetics.
Okay, so they find the DNA of the butterflies in Mexico and see which ones have come from Florida?
Yes, they can see if there's any that are coming from Florida. Because ours have a different genetic than the East Coast and the West Coast, they are very similar in their genetics. Ours have a lot of different markers than the migratory monarchs. So when they get a suspected one, they will do genetic testing.
Okay. And so last month, Dr. Andy Davis, who is with the University of Georgia Odum School of Ecology, he wrote a controversial blog post called An Open Letter to Floridians, Florida Monarchs and Growing Butterfly Weed. And this is the tropical butterfly weed, which is the Curassavica. Is that how you say it? Curassavica? And how did it's the tropical milkweed. That's easier to say.
Yes,
and so
yes.
How did you learn about the post?
I received a message on Facebook from one of my upset citizen scientists.
Okay. So, and what did they say?
They wanted to know what they were supposed to do, whether they should be tearing out all their milkweed and stop having a habitat for the monarchs.
And so what Dr. Davis is telling Floridians is to stop growing tropical milkweed, which is what's always been recommended, and stop growing the native and actually pull it out of the yard or out of anywhere where they are growing the natives. He's telling us to destroy both the tropical and the native, the non-native and the native milkweeds. And how do you feel about that?
I just feel it would serve absolutely no purpose.
Okay.
And here's why. Here's why. The spore doesn't care whether it's a native milkweed or non-native. The spore is on the butterfly. And since 95% of our population carries the spore, they're going to release the spore onto whatever host plant is available. So if you rip out all the milkweed that you've purchased and planted in your yard or wherever you've planted it, if you rip that all out, all you're going to do, one, is you're going to force the monarch to go look for it. And his fear that he claims in his post was that our Florida monarchs are going to contaminate the migrating monarchs. But if you pull our milkweed out, you're going to force the monarchs to go north and look for it. Well, since most of our monarchs down here have the spore, there goes your cross-contamination.
Right.
Secondly, it's not going to get rid of the spore because you're going to force the monarchs then to go to whatever is left here in the state, out in the wilderness, which there's not much of that left. And you're going to have a compound effect because all the spores are going to be concentrated in one spot.
Right.
So it will do absolutely no good to pull any milkweed out.
So I was talking to my good friend, Dr. Gary Bachman, University of Mississippi, and he thinks he feels it's kind of extreme. And we've been talking about the OE every time he comes on because it's a popular topic with him, and he feels more research is needed. And so that's what you're doing there at the Florida Monarch Research and Education Project. What is the best way to help monarchs?
The best way to help them is to make sure that you're supplying a habitat. Make sure that you have your milkweed. Make sure that you have your nectar plants. I'm not telling people that they need to raise them. They know how to raise themselves.
Right.
They've been doing it for centuries. Just provide their habitat. That's all we need to do.
And stop spraying chemicals. Stop spraying insecticides around the house.
No pesticides. We need to be responsible guardians of our pollinators.
That's right. And so how can our listeners and Florida gardeners find out more about your monarch research and OE?
We can be contacted at onetag.org. We also have a Facebook page that is Florida Monarch Research and Educational Project 501c3. And we also have an email, which is florida.monarchreproject@gmail.com.
That's wonderful. Also, the Florida Wildflower Society and the University of Florida has pages on the monarch butterflies and how to help them. So, Joyce, just to close out, what is the best way to help Florida monarch butterflies? You're not suggesting to get rid of any of the native milkweeds.
Do not get rid of it at all. Do not pull any milkweeds out at all.
And that's the native ones. The tropical ones. Now, what is suggested is that, you know, if you want to reduce the amount of migratory monarchs, that you're going to just cut it back during, you know, the fall or every time it blooms. After it blooms, cut it back and let it resprout again.
Yes, the tropical, yes. Please don't leave the flowers after they go to seed. Don't leave them on there, because if you're not going to be responsible and collect the seeds before the pod opens, all it's going to do is blow across everybody else's yard and cause a more.
There you go, Joyce. I can tell you're
first. Problem.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on this morning. That's Joyce Samzel, head of the Florida Monarch Research and Education Project. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. 800-398-0651. That's 800-398-0651.
I'm so glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf.
What about that girl with the hoop earrings?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God, Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, one in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit, make a plan, be informed today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
For too many parents, a baby's first steps aren't just a milestone. They're a miracle, made possible by volunteers like you who walk in March for Babies. The money you raise funds research and local programs that help babies overcome the challenges of premature birth and birth defects. Sign up today at marchforbabies.org to take the steps that help make milestones and even miracles possible for thousands of families. Who will you march for?
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. If you have a phone call, now is the time to call 1-888-455-2967, or you can text me at 23680. Give us your name and your city. That will help me out with instructions. And so we've got lots of great messages coming up and on Agapanthus and Loquats and Bone and Blood Meal. But let's go to Beverly in Tallahassee. Good morning, Beverly. How can I help you?
Hi, good morning, Teresa. I went out to check on my tomatoes, and I believe it's deer have eaten the top 2 feet out of three of my seven tomatoes.
Oh, my goodness.
Do deer eat tomato plants?
Deer will eat anything. Okay. Yeah. Deer will eat anything. You know, if it's, even if it says it's deer resistant, sometimes after it's, you know, been growing in your yard for a couple of years, deer will try it and go, you know what? That's not too bad. We'll go ahead and start eating that. Yeah.
Well, so do I get bird netting and stake around it?
I think that would be your best choice for it. You know, come out a few feet from it so they can't, you know, push it in and eat, you know, because, you know, they're pretty smart. Either that or putting it a cage around it, too, as well. But that can get expensive, too, as well.
Yeah,
so,
and so the tomatoes that, you know, I've been out of pocket as far as gardening for a couple years, but so I only have 7 plants.
Mm-hmm.
Will the tomatoes that have been lopped off at the top, will they...
Resprout?
Will they grow tomatoes or...
Sure, they still will.
Okay.
I don't know if it's going to be too late, you know, in the season to get tomatoes from them. I mean, you'll get flowers. I just don't know if it'll get pollinated, okay, with the warm temperatures.
Yeah, tomatoes on them. Okay, so that's what you would do is bird netting and...
I would do bird netting. And speaking of bird netting, Beverly, I don't know if you heard, but last year, something in one night, and Lizzie can tell you I was horrified, just in one night, hundreds of blueberries were eaten off of my plants.
Oh my God.
I did not know who it was. I didn't know if somebody was walking by and go, oh, there's a good blueberry patch, and just started putting them in their pockets, you know, and carrying them away. This week, I saw mockingbirds that were in the driveway, and they were eating my blueberries. And as soon as I came out, they ran away, so it looked like nobody was there. We're not doing anything.
Yeah.
Mockingbirds were eating my blueberries.
Crazy.
And mockingbirds will chase other birds away, too, stuff like that.
Exactly. So I think I found my culprit, but I don't know. I still have a few blueberries left. But, that's what happened. I'm going to get netting next year. So, Beverly, I'm going to be with you getting bird netting and putting them all around my bushes.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss. Wish me luck on what's left of my plants.
Yeah, let me know what happens. It's good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. If you have a call, we have plenty of lines open up, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. If you'd like to sign up for our free newsletter, In Your Backyard, you can go to our Better Lawns and Gardens page, or you can go to our Facebook page and sign up right there. No spam. It doesn't cost anything, and it'll come every month.
Yes.
And so we're wonderful. Okay, so lots of great text messages. So in Orlando, rain lilies, let me turn it so I can see. So here we go. Rain lilies have escaped their flower bed and are invading the St. Augustine yard. They're popping up all over and seem to be spreading. How to control this? Well, it's kind of difficult to say this, but I don't see a problem. I love rain lilies, and I love them in the yard. I don't have turf, but I understand you don't like them, or you don't like them in your turf. I don't know how to tell you to stop these seeds unless you cut the flower off immediately after blooming so that it doesn't, you know, produce seeds, doesn't go to seed, to keep them out of your yard. But it may seem a little late because they're probably going to be popping up all summer long with the rain since they're already in the ground and you already see them coming up. So you can dig the bulbs up or you can use in the fall an herbicide to get rid of them. Right now, I would just suggest you mow them so that they just don't come up anymore. So, you know, they do come up quickly, though. I love rain lilies, so I'm having a problem trying to empathize because they're beautiful. They're pinkish and white. I don't know what color yours are, but they come in yellows and oranges and all different shades of white with the pink throat and pink with the white throat. So just keep mowing it. And then in the fall, use a herbicide on your turf to keep them from propagating. Okay? So thank you for the question. I think it's a wonderful question. I think everyone should have rain lilies. They are full sun, no care whatsoever. They remind me of crocuses for Florida. They are a bulb, and they're just gorgeous. I love them. Okay, so a neighbor of mine in Tallahassee has a lot of agapanthus, and she offered me some. When is the best time for me to dig some up and transplant to my yard? She said, thank you, Teresa. Now, go ahead and start digging them up. Water them well before you move them so that they're hydrated. Make sure that they are in the same sunlight conditions as what you're moving them from. I just moved some agapanthus last week, and I moved them from the shade because they were in the wrong place in the shade, and we moved them out to the full sun, and they got a little sunburned. They'll recover. We're going to cut the leaves off, and they'll grow back again. But you may see a little burn if you're moving it from a shadier location to a full sun area. Okay, and just keep them watered for a couple of weeks and then let the rain take care of them. Great question. Jonica Simi says, how can I get my 5-year-old loquat tree to produce fruit? How much water and fertilizer do they like? So, John, it just depends on how big it is. That it hasn't had any fruit in 5 years, it's concerning because they should have just naturally had fruit on their own. And so you really don't need, loquats don't need a lot of encouragement to produce fruit. They usually are abundant in fruit. So it may just be that it's a small tree. I don't know how tall it is, but it may be a small tree, and that as it gets to be larger, it's going to be more established and produce fruit. But it needs fertilizing on a regular basis. Check your soil. Do a soil test on your soil to figure out how much fertilizer you need to use for it, and then just make sure it gets a couple of rainfall or waterings a week. Okay, as we're going through this summertime, it should get adequate water, especially being established for 5 years. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. Get a soil test. That'll tell you how much fertilizer it will need. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Looking to make your garden fresh and new this spring? Quality Green Specialists in DeLand has what you're looking for. Fancy shrubs, large trees like magnolias and hollies, beautiful flowers like supertunias and azaleas, olives, citrus, peaches, blueberries, vegetables and herbs too. Enjoy gardening at its best. Select from our quality fertilizers and organics like azomite. Great plants, sustainable products. Friendly expert advice. 335 West Michigan Avenue, DeLand, and online at qualitygreenspecialist.com.
Do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Are you being audited or investigated? Has the IRS sent you a letter demanding payment? You may not owe what they claim. Make this free call to the Tax Doctor now. Let them negotiate with the IRS on your behalf.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
Deep in the heart of Florida's wilderness lie unimaginable sights. Behold.
It's time to discover the wild side of Florida again. Florida Wild Quest is a free, fun, and family-friendly scavenger hunt. Grab your phone for this 10-day event all across the state. Explore the great outdoors and complete missions for your chance to win prizes. Florida Wild Quest takes place April 27th to May 5th. For more info, visit FloridaWildQuest.com. That's FloridaWildQuest.com.
That sound is every driver's worst fear. How much will the repairs cost? Is it your engine, your transmission, or worse? A car breakdown could cost you thousands to repair, but not if you have CarShield. CarShield administrators pay your claims directly to the mechanic or dealer of your choice, saving you time and money. Call CarShield today before your next breakdown. Call 800-954-1023. That's 800-954-1023.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-577-2648. That's 1-800-577-2648.
Mosquitoes are a nuisance. They can transmit deadly diseases like Zika and West Nile virus. Protect yourself with Summit Mosquito Dunks. Placed in ponds, bird baths, or any standing water, Summit Mosquito Dunks are harmless to people, pets, and wildlife, but kill mosquito larvae before they're old enough to bite and last for 30 days or more. Find Summit Mosquito Dunks at garden centers, hardware stores, and online retailers. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com. That's SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. 802-341-4542. That's 802-341-4542.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And so we have Scott in Palm Bay. Good morning, Scott. How can we help you?
Good morning. Hi, Ms. Watkins. I have two quick questions.
Sure.
I have a, I think it's called a weeping hibiscus.
Okay.
And some of the brand, are growing straight up, getting taller and taller. Should I lop them off all at the same size? And will they eventually then start doing the weeping process?
When you see it, well... So when you see the weeping hibiscus, how tall is it when you're talking about right now? How tall is it?
The ones that are going straight up, they're probably, oh geez, maybe about 10, maybe even 12 foot by now.
Wow. Yeah. And so is it blooming?
Yes.
And
just
are
the other day.
Okay. And so are the hibiscus flowers hanging down?
Yes. And some of them are up high too.
But are they? They're growing. They're opening straight up, like they're going growing up north towards the sky.
Yes.
Okay. And so, weeping hibiscus doesn't really have a lot of weeping branches. I'm just wondering if you have the right type of plant, or maybe you have two varieties in when you planted it. Did you actually plant this plant?
Yes, I bought it from a greenhouse.
A greenhouse. Okay. I'm just wondering if they have two different hibiscus that were in the same pot. Is it the same color?
Yes. Beautiful rose color, pinkish.
Pinkish color. Okay. So yes, I would cut your hibiscus back. I don't necessarily know if I would do it now, unless it's, 12 feet tall is kind of tall for a hibiscus. And so the weeping, I would go ahead and cut it back after it finishes flowering. Now, if it's flowering now, just wait until it finishes and then cut it back and see what happens after that. Okay. I'm just wondering if they have two different varieties in the same pot.
I am too. I never seen one do this. I thought they always just automatically weeped, but this one here wants to go towards the sky.
Yeah.
And some of the benches I did cut off earlier, they're weeping a lot more down towards the ground.
Right.
They're almost on the ground. But anyway, thanks for your input.
I that's what
question.
I'm saying. Okay, so what about your butterfly question before you go? Did you have a butterfly question?
Yeah. I actually called a couple of weeks ago. I have the swamp milkweed, and
okay.
It really attracts the monarchs.
Uh-huh.
Is that considered a tropical milkweed?
No, the swamp milkweed is native. Okay, and so keep that. That's good. It's wonderful to attract butterflies. And if you want to, I would just cut them back after they bloom and let them start producing again. Okay, and so you don't necessarily have to do that, but you can.
Yeah, I cut those green pods off when they start yellowing because I don't want them to split open because they millions of little like parachutes come out and they do float all over.
I agree. So cut them back after they finish flowering and then let it start growing again. Very good.
Okay. Thanks, Ms. Watkins. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Just call me Teresa. Thank you, Scott.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And so we got some great text messages. Let's see if we can get them all in here. And I will tell you, we had a lot of text messages after the show that I couldn't get to last week. So I'm going to get to those right now. So Joy from Winter Springs, she said, this is the first year in 2 to 3 years that she has a pineapple growing from my plant. It's about 4 times this size. I don't know what that means. I noticed a growth coming out of the side of the stalk, and I asked Siri, and she said you can get 1 or 2 on a plant. Is it good to keep them growing, or does it drain from the one that's maturing? Siri, you asked Siri a question about gardening instead of calling me. She could have called me.
That's okay, but hey, okay. Now she is.
Yeah, she is. And so pineapples only have 1 fruit per plant. Okay, it takes 2 winters usually for a pineapple to produce a fruit. And what you're seeing is the second plant producing a pineapple, not the same plant. So there's pups underneath there that have started to reproduce. Pineapples grow exponentially, Joy. And so once they produce a fruit, they will decline and die over the year. But in that year, they're going to produce 2 to 3 pups per plant. So you can divide them up when they're small and transplant so that you have multiple plants. And or the original one will decline and start to die. So great question. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens, Joy. Appreciate it. So Tom's listened to the show a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about black sapotes, a fruit tree that tastes like pudding, both custard and chocolate pudding.
Yes.
And it really does. So the name of those trees is the black sapote, S-A-P-O-T-E, and it's called, and the scientific name is Disperios nigra, N-I-G-R-A. And then the white sapote is Casimirioa edulis, E-D-U-L-I-S. So just look up black sapote and white sapote and you will see them. And you can find them. There were some at the Apopka Art and Foliage Festival, and I picked one up for Lizzie. So she's getting one.
I'm so excited. I can't wait.
So Tom in West Melbourne said, passion fruit is not fruiting. What is causing it? And he said he had a lot of native passion fruit vines all over his yard, and he said they're kind of dispersed now. Well, poor pollination will happen when we have a drought. And you will not get fruit very easily when we don't have it, when we have a drought, Tom. So I think that's been the issue for this year. And then also for your own passion vines, make sure they're getting fertilizer and also adequate water. All right. And also do a soil test on it. See how much fertilizer you need to add.
Yeah. And they can get a hold of Dana Venrick, too, if yes. They'd like to have the soil testing test. Done.
Exactly. You can do that at Quality Green Specialist Nursery. And so the next question was, Florida Lawn Handbook refers to cutting grass at tallest height recommended. And then the lawn companies say it should be cut at the lowest height. I have zoysia. Why is this? And who is right? Great question. I don't have your name or location, but it's a great question. It's important to cut grass at the highest level of the grass's height. That's the important part, because higher blades will create thicker root systems. It'll go down deeper. This ensures a good deep root system. But it depends on the variety of zoysia grass you have that's going to let you know what height to mow it at. So medium to coarse textured zoysia grass should be mowed weekly and when they reach a height of 3 to 4 inches, okay, with a lawnmower. Now, if you're using a rotary mower, you can keep it a little bit lower. Cut it, mow it at a height of 1 3/4 to 2 1/2 inches. And then fine textured zoysia grass should be mowed at heights right around 1 inch, which is going to require more frequent mowing. Okay, so the lawn companies are saying that you should mow it at the lowest level so they don't have to mow it as often. And they keep that down lower and so that it's not going to be too high when they come back again. That's the reason the lawn companies are doing it, is so they don't have to mow as much. Scalping grass is not a good idea ever. You always want to have St. Augustine grass and Bahia grass at 3 to 4 inches, and the zoysia grass, depending on the height, at 1 1/2 to 3/4 to 2 inches, depending on the variety. Okay, so that's a great question. Which fertilizer should I use on Ixora? Acidic fertilizer, slow release, like an azalea or a camellia fertilizer. So that would be great. Paula in Orlando asked last week, how many years before I see avocados? It depends on whether the tree is grafted, Paula, or grown from seed. Grafted, it should produce fruit the first year to second year. Growing from seed, it could be anywhere from 5 to 7 years with proper fertilizing. So Mike in Kissimmee, he wondered about his avocado that doesn't want to grow, doesn't need a lot of fertilizer. I water it a lot, but it's like dormant for 5 years. Okay, we got a lot of questions on this. Is it in full sun? How much fertilizer are you applying, Mike? And how much are you watering? Does your avocado have lots of leaves? Does it look healthy? If not, there's something going on. Make sure it's in full sun and you're fertilizing and watering correctly. I would test your soil. So take it to the Osceola UF Extension office and tell them you're trying to grow avocados. They'll tell you what's going on with the soil. Mia in Winter Garden, she asked, I've had a hanging basket with a sweet potato vine growing in it. Can I trim the long leaves to make it bushier? Yes, you can, Mia. Go for it. All right. So real quickly, Linda, she wanted to discuss bone and blood meal. She uses blood meal under a large bottle brush, water, and blooms appear very soon. She's also using it in growing vegetables in pots. You can use blood and bone meal, but blood meal is nitrogen. That's not making the bottle brush bloom. Your bottle brush was going to bloom for the springtime anyway. Blood meal is from the bones of dogs, and that's potassium and calcium that it's going to add. It's not a complete fertilizer. You can use it. That's fine. If you use an all-purpose fertilizer with the minor nutrients in it, you'll get the same results as well, okay? So the blood meal is nitrogen, adds nitrogen to the soil. You may be putting too much nitrogen on it, or it may not be enough. Check and do a blood test. How's that for you, Lizzie? Do a soil test and tell you exact amount of fertilizer you need to use. So I want to thank everyone who called today. You're so great. Text messages are
on point. Yes, we have the best listeners in the whole wide world.
We do. Thank you. I'm sorry for coughing.
Not a problem.
And so we want to thank Dana Venrick. He is a sponsor of Better Lawns and Gardens. Thank him for being an advertiser. We do appreciate it. That's how we can bring you the show free. And then also to Joyce Samzel, thank you for all your research on monarch butterflies and the OE devastation that's causing. We're going to bring you more news on that. We'll also probably talk to our friend Dr. Gary Bachman on it when he comes down in the fall. We love having him. From everybody out there, thank you so much for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, maker of mosquito bits and dunks. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Remember, you can go to our website, betterlawns.com, and you can catch all of the podcasts there. It's betterlawns.com.
Honey, I've got some great news.
Fix the sink?
No.
Clean the garage?
No.
Cut the grass?
I know what to do with our old boat. The Florida Vessel Turn-In Program, or VTIP, accepts vessels at risk of becoming derelict. Since we're titled owners and got a citation and warning from law enforcement, we can have it removed at no cost before it becomes derelict.
Great. Now about that other stuff.
Shh. First, boat.
Don't wait until it's too late. For more information, go to FloridaVTIP.com. That's FloridaVTIP.com.
David was in big trouble with the IRS.
At first, I didn't owe that much, but after this year, it was out of control.
Then David called Get a Tax Lawyer.
Right away, they were like, oh yeah, looks like you're qualified to save.
Get a Tax Lawyer went to work.
Should have called way sooner.
Get a Tax Lawyer has helped thousands like David fight the IRS and get a fresh start.
Call 800-786-9014. That's 800-786-9014.